Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We get giddy for this show, and I am so blessed and honored to do it with a friend, a brother, a mentor, Kip Gross in Newport Beach, with his lovely girlfriend, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, where it looked like Seattle weather for about 5 weeks, but it's starting to change. 347-205-9631. Anything after that, 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, I will tell you this, Kip, it is a tough week for me. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news on it either, but my granddaughter, my middle one, turned 10 yesterday, went to Disneyland, $239 tickets, they said. My grandmother's birthday is tomorrow. She would have been 101. I lost my dad on Thursday 38 years ago, so I'll always remember that because it's right on my anniversary in June. And then I lost my mother-in-law Saturday. It'll be 2 years. So other than that, everything's going good. The time change I'm not a big fan of with the darkness as I was getting used to the lightness early in the morning and the Oscars. Time for to move out Robert Downey Jr. Let some of these young studs win some Oscars every now and then. How come these pictures are starting to win? There's better pictures than the one that won it. It reminds me years ago when I thought I had the best picture won. I saw four of the five, and the fifth one that I didn't see, The Shape of Water, won the best picture. And I'm going, man, what are these people looking at? But other than that, it's Tuesday afternoon. We're jacked up, and I've taken half the time.
It's okay, Mark. It's all good. Yeah, in Newport right now, weather's beautiful. Skies are blue. Not a cloud in the sky. It's been a good week as far as getting away from Arizona for a little bit and all the trouble it had over there. But it's going to be good. There's a lot of stuff going on in the wide world of sports right now. I'm really sorry about all your relatives and dad and mom and all that. It's always a tough one. You know, I look back at my mom 33 years ago, and it's always a tough one even say her name. So. But, yeah, let's have a good one today and rock and roll. Let's have some fun.
It's always nice to see you bring me back to the front and center of this show, and I love it dearly. But I will tell you this. You can't help with the NFL free agent frenzy. The Steelers have loaded up. We talked about it in the pre-chat. Your boys have loaded up with Gardner Minshew. They had a great year with the Colts. The Chargers are trying to send some people out, bring some people in. The Ravens have lost guys, but then they brought in an Earl Campbell running back and Derrick Henry. I mean, this is crazy with the money going. And Mac Jones goes from New England to Jacksonville, I believe. That's got to be a two-headed monster with him and Trevor Lawrence. Teams are giving up on teams, players a little too quickly here. And I think sometimes it can come back and bite you, wouldn't you say?
You know, Mark, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, you got these quarterbacks. How many quarterbacks went down last year? And so, you know, guys are, you know, these teams are now trying to pick up that second quarterback that can actually come in and know the offense and play and get things done. Not the same as their number one, but at least still have a chance. I mean, when you lose your quarterback in the NFL, your season's basically over. I mean, that's been proven over and over again with these injuries. And so, but yeah, this Derrick Henry thing, that's one of those studs out there. It's like, wow. You know, it's hopefully it's not a Dallas Cowboy thing from way back when, but you know, my biggest thing right now is the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they did and how they acquired that new quarterback from Denver. You know, Denver gave up eight players for him, and paid him, I think, what was it, $34 million a year for so many years. And now the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to get him for $1.5 million a year. I mean, I'm looking at a little Dallas Cowboys situation here where they can go out and pick up players to get around him. Because just like we talked about earlier, you know, did he have a supporting cast around him in Denver? I don't think so. I mean, he was definitely not the same guy there, you know, for a couple of years. Like you said, he had more interceptions they had in Pittsburgh for the 2 years. So we're going to see what happens. But I just got a funny feeling. Watch out for Pittsburgh this year. I really do. He's better than he has been the last year. He has to be. So, you know, like I said, you got to watch the games and see what happens. But I think they're going to have a good season. I really, really do. They got to be excited in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, well, picking him up. Sometimes, like I talked about in the pre-chat, sometimes it's the foundation. You get into a city where you can fully concentrate on football rather than other things. I've always said this. Usually, you know, following hockey a lot, when the guys went from Pittsburgh to New York, the bright lights, big city, sometimes it can, you know, it can take away from what they're there to do. And I think now with Pittsburgh being a football town with a drinking problem, you just concentrate on, you know, hitting your targets there. But I will tell you, I think he's going to be a comeback player of the year. I'm surprised the Browns really they went out and they got Winston, and then they kind of let Flacco go, who was a comeback player of the year. But the Browns will always be the Browns. Hey, Dalen, coming in from Chelmsford, Mass., always an avid listener. He says, I can't get enough of your show. What are you guys going an hour? Yeah, we're going an hour next month. That's for darn sure. Dalen, time to be determined on which day we are, but we're going an hour, so we'll crank it then. But he said the biggest NFL news is the rumors swirling around the Kelce and Taylor Swift and Jason Kelce going around and promoting it. Well, first of all, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are on it. We've dissected this quite a few times. I'm not a big Kelce guy. I think these two guys are duck dynasties. As far as his brother just concentrate on maybe trimming his beard and doing that on a weekly basis and not worrying about his other brother. But I don't really care what's happening here. I don't know. I just think these guys are money grabbers, if you ask me, and Taylor Swift hasn't figured it out. Have you?
the whole thing with the Taylor Swift, I mean, I get it. I do understand the NFL loves having this because they're in the spotlight and making them so much more money, you know. And that's what the NFL is all about. It's a billion-dollar industry. But the problem with the NFL is they get it wrong every week somehow, even though it's a billion-dollar industry. I've been saying that for years. And the Kelce brothers, I'm with you on Kelce. You know, he's all over the commercials now and doing the jab and promoting all that stuff. And I'm not for that. But, you know, to each their own. If you want to stick it in your arm and risk it, go ahead and risk it. But that's not for me. But you know, this Taylor Swift thing, I hope it gets over with soon because I'm not tired of seeing it. You know, people say I'm tired of seeing it, but it's just slow it down a little bit. You know, let's go and play some football and enjoy the games instead of having to look up in the box all the time and seeing those red lips all day long.
Yeah, might be trying out for the next Joker, like I said before, on Batman with another sequel. But anybody 60 pounds dripping wet, you know, you got to have a little more meat on your bones than that. So I'm not a big Taylor Swift one, but anybody, you know, teach your zone on that one. But when you look at it, and let me get Albert from Poway. He says, I've listened to your show, guys, quite a bit. You guys talk about and the players and everything and the owners and all that. I must say, it is an unfair thing when the players get ripped and nobody rips the movie stars, which you've talked about that before, Mark. Well, Kip's known that from day one when we've done this show, and is how much longer I've known him and continue to know this great guy. I will always back the players. I don't care. The players are the ones that make baseball, and it's unfair that some of these people that sit here and bitch and moan about the players making all the money. They don't stand there and say anything about actors making money. And if the players are making all this money like you guys claim to be, you don't have no problem buying tickets and buying $30 beers at these stadiums. So, you know, you're not going to go see a paper cup salesman and an auto repair mechanic pitch and catch for the San Diego Padres, but you will pay to see some of these guys that are qualified and got God-given talent to play the game, won't you? And
you can add two cents
on that one, Albert, any way you want. And, Kip, I know you've got some comments on that one as well.
Albert, you know, I'm with Mark 100% on this. It's all of the players. The players are what the – I mean, nobody goes to see the GMs. Nobody goes to see the coaches. Nobody goes to see the managers sit in the dugout and do their thing. They go to see the players. I mean, that's why they just paid Ohtani $700 million to come to L.A. Who knows what he's going to do? But at the same time, he's already putting people in the seats. My son went to a Dodger game last week or just the other day in Arizona, in Phoenix, and it was really kind of strange. I got him comp for him because I know a few guys out there that can get it done for him. But that same seat that he sat in for spring training the other day was $250 for a spring training game when normally you can walk up to the gate and pick up a ticket for $20-$25 and go watch a game under the sun in Arizona. And I just they're pricing the fans out of this. I mean, it was packed. My buddy said, all these games for the Dodgers right now, everybody's coming to see these two guys play. And then we saw the pitcher the other day. What's his name? Yamamoto. He we're going to see what happens with him. I'm more of an Otani fan just because he's been in the league now for a little bit, and he knows how the United States works and does all that. But when you come over here from Japan, just like I was saying in the pregame, in Japan, people don't really know this, but you only play five teams during the season, five. And so when you're only playing five teams, you can kind of own some teams. So if you're really good against those five teams, you're going to do really well. And then he pitched against the United States in the 11th, or that preseason, whatever they call the World Cup or whatever it is. And he dominated, and that's where he made his contract. So we're going to see how that goes. I'm kind of skeptical with it. Pitchers usually get the good end of the deal the first couple times around, but after that, you know, you've got to make adjustments. Like Mark said, he's 5 foot nothing and 127 pounds, and we're going to find out. I hope the best for him, but man, it's a different game when you get to the big leagues here, guys. It really is.
Brad from Daly City coming in says, guys, I have no problem buying season tickets and spending $25 on beers. I make pretty darn good money. If you can afford it, I don't really care. I buy a lot of stuff. I bought a Giant jersey and stuff like that. I don't mind spending it. Some of you guys might be a little cheap. Well, Brad, first of all, I don't know. Maybe you've been living under a rock. You know, there's a little bit of a recession going on. People can't afford it. I'm not cheap by any means. I tip more than 20% if I'm going out to a nice place because I want to make sure the person's getting a tip. I was in that business at one time growing up, so I know how it is to give good service and get a good tip. But let me tell you something, Brad. If I walk into a Ross or a Marshall's and there's a Toronto Blue Jays beanie for $7 and has an imperfection, I'll buy that for $7 and save myself $23 on top of it so you can go spend the $23 on another beer, my friend.
That's good stuff right there. You know what, Mark? We went to a Kings hockey game last night. And the tickets I think were $175 a piece for four of us, and that was each. And then we had to pay $75 for parking because it was really close. And then we got up and like, okay, let's enjoy the game. We got four beers, and the four beers actually we had three beers and a water, and it was $82. And I mean, we had a good time and all, but it's just crazy these big league prices what they have, and they got you, just like going through an airport. You know, you can't leave the airport to go get any food or drink, so they're gonna upcharge you big time. And that it just, everybody always says sooner or later it's got to stop, but it just hasn't. People have been saying this for 20, 25, 30 years. These prices got to stop, but they keep packing these stands in, and everybody keeps supporting their teams. But I'm glad he's got the money to do what he's doing because, most people right now don't. They just don't. So, good for you, and hopefully you continue doing it to support the guys. But it's just a funny world we live in right now, guys.
It is. It's Steve from Corvallis, Oregon says I can't get enough of you guys either. You guys keep it going. Increase this show 5 days a week. He said, I went into a barber shop the other day. I screwed up my sideburn. They wanted to charge me $15 to run the razor up a half inch. I said, I'll give you $10, for your time and maybe your lights, but $15, sorry.
No doubt, right? Yeah, to trim your beard up a little bit.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Pull out your own razor and trim it up.
Yeah. I got the best note for that, Steve. Stop at your local CVS, buy a pack of razors, and go through every razor till you get it straight.
There you go.
This show, we can keep on going, but we're going to lose our title here in a minute. Bad reporters. And let me tell you, there's some horror stories. When I was covering the Dodgers and Padres, I would see some of these guys, man. This is bad reporting. First of all, a bad reporter to me is seeing the same guy for 3 days or 4 days if the team's in town, and he hasn't changed that shirt or pants. So first of all, I need to bring Glade or something to the second or third day I see this guy. But that's a bad reporter in my mind. But the other bad reporter in my mind is just asking the negative questions to try to make a name for himself or belittle a player who had a tough game that day. And I'm sure you've seen it in a lot of cities where you got to say to yourself, gosh, I know this guy, and I think I'm going to take a long shower or, let one of my buddies take over for this. And when this guy goes, then I can go come back to my locker. Is there any of those incidents?
You know, Mark, it's a really crazy thing because, you know, what you're saying is so true. There's these guys out there, or girls now for that matter, that are in your clubhouse or locker room, whatever you want to call it, and you know they're going to come with negativity. You know, you had a bad game, and they're going to come ask you questions. Well, you know what happened in the game. Now, why are you going to go and piss the guy off even more, asking him why in the game, you know? And the other thing about the game and all these reporters is it's really tough to talk to them because you got to watch your tongue a lot because they'll take parts of what you said and print it. And that's the bad part. They don't put the whole comment in. And so he makes you look like the bad guy. Just like you said, it sells papers, it sells radio, it sells TV, and that's what they do. And that's why a lot of guys don't want to talk to these reporters is because of that. If they would tell and print or say everything that the player is saying, it'd be a different story. But when I was playing, it was a true story. Everybody said 50% of what you read in the papers is not true. And so
right.
It's just one of those things where you open the paper the next day or the GM sends an article down and puts it in your locker because it's negative against like a scout or somebody else on the team, and that's not what you said. But now it causes a controversy. Now you got to stir in the clubhouse, and then you got to have a clubhouse meeting to clear the air a little bit. And that's what it is with these reporters. Like you said about the clothes, it is true. There's a lot of these guys that wear the same clothes every day.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Like, what did you do, Laz? Did you comb your hair with a rock last night or what?
So yeah.
It is. But these reporters, you know, my thing with the reporters was – I didn't have a problem answering any question. I had no problem answering it. But my biggest thing was almost like a Seinfeld episode. I couldn't stand the close reporter that got really close to your face with his face. And it was like, God, why do you got to get so close? You know, they got the microphone up there. Just put your arm out there, put the mic in front of my face, and we'll go. But some of them get really close. And, you know, I know it's TV a lot of times, but at the same time, You got to give the guy space. You know, he just had a good or bad game, and usually the bad games when they come around most of the time to get in your face and, you know, back off a little bit and let the player have a little space and enjoy his time, even though it was a bad game, because he's going to come back tomorrow and prove you wrong.
Well, and not only that, some of them rode, I can imagine, like when you're home, the locker room is spacious and it's like a palatial palace there, and then you get into the road, and it's kind of like a 2x4 cubicle. So there's no room to kind of move left and right, and you're absolutely right. And then you get all these people crowding you, and, you know, they'll keep on talking. And meanwhile, guys are loading their stuff on the buses to, you know, or going back to the hotel, and you're still wrapped around a towel there trying to get your, you know, the question so you can semi-get dressed, and these guys just won't give you the space. But I don't know. It should be like a school of etiquette, and I've always been that way. When I've talked to the guys, I'd give them their space, then kind of walk up to them. But some of these guys, they'll just go right up, and then when you build a relationship with the player or something, they wonder, well, how did you do that? Well, it's please and thank you, and, you know, have a nice night, and we'll see you tomorrow. But some of these guys, you're absolutely right. It's all about, and, you know, I've always seen this too, and it's a no-no in the game, but you'll always have that friend or somebody will ask you, hey, can you get me this? Can you get me that? Hey, we're here to cover. We can't get you this, and we can't get you that. I can't get that for myself. So, I'll give you a little story. Doing the Pittsburgh Pirates now for going on 4 years with Tarek Brock, their first base coach, and I'm so blessed to be doing that one. You'll get some friends that'll call you out of the blue in a different city and say, hey, the Pirates are coming to this town. Can you get me some tickets? And You know, does he have a bat and something? I had a guy, honest to God, 2 years ago, living in Baltimore, saying the Pirates were coming through. Can you get me a bat and a ball and tickets? And I go, I don't ask for that. How can I ask that guy that for that? I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, and when you're not in the big leagues and you're making good money and you're traveling and you're struggling in the minors, where are these guys? They're not asking you for tickets to see, you know, the New Haven Sox or something, or, you know, the independent leagues. But boy, they can ask you for everything when you hit the majors. Am I right or wrong on that?
Oh God, you're so right. It might be the worst part of being a player in professional sports and in the big leagues is you go to these different cities, and now you've got uncles and cousins and aunts that come out of the woodwork you never had. You didn't even know who they were, and now, oh, God, they're your best friend. And, hey, can you leave 15 tickets for my family? And I'm like, I don't even know who the hell you are. You know, and but that yeah. Well, I'm your cousin from another whatever, and it just
right. And then
way.
You meet the cousin, and he looked like he played hockey. He got hit with the puck, and he has no teeth. And then he's trying to ask you for the tickets, and you're asking him, I don't know you, but I'm on your dad's side or your mom's side, and I've known it's kind of like hitting the lottery, and you got to kind of it's unbelievable how these people are, but I've definitely seen it even covering games where people ask for a ball. Can you get me this? Can you get me that? And it's unbelievable. It's give me, and it's unbelievable. But the bad reporters, I got to tell you a story in San Diego once covering the Padres for 3 years. And I think it was Jim Fregosi had come through with the – I believe it was the Phillies, and Michael Mims had given up like 6 or 7 runs in the first inning. And you know those in San Diego and the old Qualcomm, them cubicles are so small, especially for the managers. And we're crammed in there. It was like an elevator. Thank God I had the right guard. But, man, it was crammed in and very quiet. You know, Fregosi would, wait for somebody to fire the first question. And this one guy – never forget this. He's standing in there, dead silence. You could have heard a pin drop. And he asked, is Michael Mims around? And why did you leave him in for all those runs? And Fregosi just went off on this guy. And I'm saying, wow. And and I kind of thought I had a couple questions, but I was just kind of, hey, Jim, get him tomorrow. But,
yeah, that is, no doubt. You know, I got a Qualcomm story, too.
Yeah.
Way back when Qualcomm was going on, if you're sitting in the bullpen, you had the outfield fence went all the way around.
Yeah.
There was a wall behind.
Yep.
Also. If you just told everybody, hey, everybody shut up for a second, don't say a word, you could hear the other bullpen on the other side, like they were sitting right next to you. The voices would come all the way around there. So you knew what they were talking about in the other bullpen. It was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, that was, man, I'll tell you, San Diego was great. You had some great reporters, like we talked to you last week, but the bad ones, you would know who they were. They were no-nonsense.
Oh,
they
yeah.
didn't care if you knew the player or not. They were just here to shoot the questions and everything. And I remember covering the Caminitis and the Steve Finleys and the Greg Vaughns and the Tony Gwynns and building those relationships with God bless his soul, Kevin Towers and Theo Epstein and John Morris and all those guys. But you'd have some of these guys. And, I think the toughest reporters, Kip, and we'll probably get into the spring training preparing for that next week because this is taking a life all its own. I think the toughest ones are the ones that come in from New York. They're usually these grumpy-looking guys. And you kind of think, is this the Seven Dwarfs and they picked up 6-7 grumpies out of the New York LaGuardia Airport?
Yeah.
Because these guys just come in and they were just all business and crowd you around and big guys. They look like linebacker reporters and they just come in there and try to get the questions. And yeah, we're covering the Mets here and it's like, wow, you kind of thought like these guys were New York Giants or Jet beat reporters.
Yeah, what you're saying, Mark, it's when I first got to the big leagues, I'll never forget Barry Larkin and a guy like Tom Brown, and God rest his soul also, and a few other veterans, they'd come up to you and they'd say, that guy over there, watch what you say to him, for the reporter, because like I said earlier, they don't report what you actually say. And so you got to watch. So when those guys tell you, you know, you got to watch what you say around some of these guys, it's really true because they've been around them for years. So, you know, you get your veterans on the team, they try to take care of you, and you just got to follow suit and do the best you can. But, yeah, there's a lot of them out there.
Well, let me bring in Dave, and he's coming in from Spokane, and he basically says, how do you handle something like that? Now, if I was a player, I would tell you how I'd handle it. I'm an extrovert, so it's like anything. It's like a job or anything. You can't go on a job and you have a problem with somebody and start, you know, hey, I'm right and you're wrong, and because people are going to always take sides. So the best antidote for that, Dave, in Spokane, and Kip will throw his 3 cents in on this one too, is being an extrovert, I just totally shut it down. I don't say two words. And then they kind of look at you, and if you talk to everybody else and you don't talk to them, I guess the message is well spent, and they get it, you know, they kind of wonder, like, what's going on around here? How would you handle something like that? Because that would be probably the way I would handle it.
Like I said, Mark, I never had a problem talking to anybody because you got to learn to watch what you say and don't let them take, you know, just a couple quotes out of what you're saying and throw it in the paper or in the news somewhere, you know. And the best example I can always think about this whole thing of how these reporters are is Barry Bonds. You know, there's a reason why Barry Bonds didn't want to talk to most reporters, because, like I said, 50% of what they write in the papers isn't true. And when you got a guy like him, you know, that does what he does and he can say what he wants to say and do what he wants to do, he's going to avoid you at all costs. And now, you know, he's not in the Hall of Fame. He probably still wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame either, even if he didn't do what he did, but with the drugs. But, you know, it's just one of those things where do you have a good relationship with the media or do you not? There's really no in between, because it's just one of those things where if you don't talk to him, he's going to say, hey, you know, this guy didn't talk to me. You might as well not even go over there to him. And next thing you know, they don't like it. They don't even know what the hell went on in the first place. And so it's a catch-22, but you got to do the best you can. And if you're a big enough name, you can just say, screw it, I'm not going to talk to you, because you've already messed up your one or two chances with me, and why give you a third chance? I mean, I agree with some of the players doing this. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you kind of look at it and you kind of say to yourself, you know, you put the shoe on the other foot. Would you want to be asked that? Would you want to be treated like that? Would you want somebody to do something like that? If you're, you know, working in a restaurant, you know, coming out of high school, if you were a server, you see the busboy over there, hey, can I get you a Coke? Can I help you out? Can I get you something to eat over here? I'm eating. You know, here's a little bit of my thing. Hey, let me wash some dishes. Take a break. You know, that goes a long way in putting yourself in that position. But when you look at it like, hey, I'm a big time reporter here selling the pig paper on the Miami Herald or something, who cares? You know, you're one day away from being thrown on the street corner and somebody replacing you. So, and nobody remembers the bad, you know, as much as they remember the good. So if you're a good reporter, they'll always remember you, and there's will be a good job for you too, I would always imagine.
Yeah, that's the way it's got to be. I mean, I just don't understand why people in life, I mean, it's the same way with just life, you know, just get along with people, do the right things, and everything will be good in the end. But, you know, some people want to stir the controversy, and when you stir the controversy, like we said, it sells papers, but how long is it going to sell that same guy? You're going to lose that news down the road, you know, and that's how it goes. So, yeah.
Well, we did one hell of a show here tonight, and we continue to take this thing, and if this spring training thing is going to be good next week, and then we'll get into see if we can get into some predictions on breaking the divisions down to see how they'll all shake out, and surprises as we start looking at that. But how can people get a hold of you, my brother? And man, this show just went by that quick again. We can't wait to do an hour next month.
Yeah, before I say that to you, though, here we go. Dodgers going to win the whole World Series this year. That's what most everybody's saying out there. But I'm going to tell you all again, the Dodgers are the Los Angeles Cowboys, and it's going to keep happening over and over again until they change who's running the show there. And that's I don't know why they're not getting it, but it's the guy running the show there. I like Dave Roberts, but I don't like how he manages. And you know, when you got an analytical department up there, why don't they just bring those guys down and have them manage and put the uniform on down there? But anyway, guys, kipgross.com and beagamer@gmail.com. This is a wonderful show. I absolutely enjoy it every week and what we do and how we talk and just let you have it. That's what we're going to do.
No,
give it to you.
Yep, they can't touch it. And you got to coin that phrase, buddy, because that is definitely true. Cowboys and Dodgers are joined at the hip, and I can't wait till October when they get beat again, and the Dodger fans will say, "We'll wait till next year. We're going to get another guy in here. Maybe they'll bring in Trout to join Ohtani and all these guys." So it should be interesting. I just think the Dodgers remind me of the Lakers when, God rest his soul, Kobe Bryant was there, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, and Shaquille O'Neal, and they got beat by the Pistons. And the swan song was, "Well, we got injured." Well, no excuses, make adjustments. That's what John Wooden said. For Kip Gross out there in Newport, boy, I love him dearly. I love this show. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll talk to you next week as we break down getting ready for spring training and maybe get into some of these divisions winners. Till then, have a blessed one. Kip, stay warm, brother.
Have a great one, everybody. Absolutely. You guys have a great one out there. See you all next week.
God bless.